Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
What broke him down? Was it just the body punching? I was hitting him with body punching. I heard him asking, he was crying in there. What broke him down? You're saying that Big was crying when you hit him? Yes. When did that happen? And perhaps the fourth round on.
BoxingVoice.com.
So you knew you had him by that
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely, but I knew you were fucking touching and taking those punches.
Down deep in our seat productions.
Making woman gestures like,
Let's go, champ. This is the champ. Keep sharing the champ. If it is with the fake champ. If it was Ali, might have
been good to go. BoxingVoice.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It seems like we have a lot of judgmental folks with us live today, and that's okay. We're here to change your mind. Don't you worry about it, you nearsighted folks. You can't you get the title? We're not dissing Kell Brook. Jesus, it was the sarcasm in it. The world considered him a ducker. They thought he was avoiding Errol Spence. And the man who was allegedly ducking opens the favorite. Jesus, do you need me to explain it for you? What the hell's the matter with you? The number is 1-425-569-5241. Call in. Let's talk about this. Does he deserve to be the favorite? Is Errol Spence the underdog? Do you truly understand the title? But let me get out to my co-hosts. We got them in the Sunshine State. We got them in the Golden State. Let's get to the surgeon.
Back to them things going on, brother. I know you want to sit in on this. We're going to head on over to his doctor.
The Sunshine State.
Boxing MD.
Boxing MD. What's going on?
Is that a fair statement to make? You have to be honest with yourself.
Glad to be back in studio, back in the Sunshine State, my bad. Had a little bit of a hiccup, but for everybody hating on the title, right, it was actually me that encouraged that title. And it was because for everybody thinking that we're taking a shot at Kell Brook, no. I'm taking a shot at all the haters, all the TBV haters, and some people on the panel, not to mention names, who believed that Kell Brook was ducking, right? Because everybody was acting like, Kell Brook is avoiding Errol Spence, who to a lot of people is the second coming of Jesus Christ. So he opens as a favorite, and I think he deserves to be opening as a favorite. I'll get more into it. But again, it is in quotes for a reason, because it's a myth that he was ducking, because the guy who opens as a favorite is taking the fight that nobody thought he would in the eyes of some of these biased fans. So.
And in the Golden State.
Hey, guys. I don't want to say that Kell Brook was ducking, but he was avoiding. The amount of extensions that he put to the IBF was just insane. And the fact that he was injured is a valid excuse for not having the fight happen earlier. But he could have had the fight scheduled and signed and finalized a long time ago for this date. It could have he could have had this fight finalized 2 months ago for May. So the idea that there wasn't some sort of avoidance, I think, is a little bit ignorant on some fans or some pundits' minds, because we haven't seen the amount of extensions that Kell Brook received in the IBF really ever before. This is precedent setting almost. So that is a factor. But Kell Brook is the deserved favorite. He is the champ. He does have a better name on his resume than Errol Spence does and Sean Porter. He's also just a little more established in the division. So I think that he is the deserved favorite, but because the line is so close and the line does move very often once bets start coming in, I will not be surprised if Errol Spence becomes the by fight night.
Y'all getting it next, boy.
Before we get into the odds, I just want to pose a quick question. If Kell Brook chose to fight Manny Pacquiao in a unification bout, would that be considered a duck?
I would consider it a cherry pick, to be honest. because
how is that a cherry pick? Wait a minute.
Because in my mind, Kell Brook, this is an assumption of Kell Brook's mindset. That is my opinion, not a fact. My opinion. I think Kell Brook would see that he has an easier time with the smaller, more faded legend in Manny Pacquiao than the young guy that matches him for size and speed, for size, speed, and power in Errol Spence.
Okay.
You got what I'm saying? Obviously, the name value is huge. So that's a bigger fight. In short,
you're saying yes, right? It's a form of a duck, cherry pick.
Not necessarily duck, but cherry
okay,
pick.
Okay, fine. So since when have we ever criticized boxers for taking bigger fights, even more risky fights?
Errol Chavez.
More risky fights, because I think a Pacquiao fight is more risky than Errol Spence, in my opinion. But again, yeah, I do.
Do you think Manny Pacquiao can knock out Kell Brook more so than Errol Spence can?
I don't knock out win. I think that Manny Pacquiao is a better fight. It's a more risky fight, and it's a more financially viable fight. I think we're holding Kell Brook to a different standard that we do to a lot of guys, right? I don't think that we are critical of Floyd Mayweather or Manny Pacquiao not taking their mandatories, moving up and taking riskier fights. Like when I don't know who Floyd's mandatory was when he chose to fight Canelo Alvarez, right? So I'm pretty sure people were okay with him fighting Canelo. I'm not sure who Manny Pacquiao's mandatory was when he chose to fight Margarito, but I'm pretty sure we were okay with him fighting Margarito. So I think rather than assume that Kell Brook is avoiding the fight, I think that Kell Brook is in a position that if he would have chose to fight Amir Khan, right, I think that would have been a duck, because Amir Khan is a lower risk opponent and he's not a title holder, right? He's not a title holder. So I think that we are just a little quick to pass judgment on Kell Brook, who seems to be willing to take big fights and risks, you know? And I know a lot of people say that the Golovkin fight, right? The Golovkin fight was a high risk, he essentially had an excuse, right? But you act like this man just took a fight and took a dive. He tried to win in this fight. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying in general. He tried to win in this fight. And in this fight, it was his corner that pulled him out after he had a broken orbital. So this is not – you know what I'm saying? So I just think we're a little harsh on Kell Brook for some of these boxing fans. And I think you guys will be surprised when Errol Spence is not the second coming of Christ, like I said.
Well, I think Kell Brook does deserve some criticism because he's been in the welterweight division for, 13 years? And his only notable win is Sean Porter, which was an ugly, close win. And he hasn't made really anything of note in his career. You know, his biggest win is his only win, in my opinion. Carson Jones, like Shevchenko, like those guys don't matter to me. Like,
nor are they relevant at this point.
Yeah, so I think, like, obviously, like, the Sean Porter win is huge. Like, I'm not trying to take away from that win. But Kell Brook is an enigma in this division. He is. So I don't know.
I mean, I guess I get your point in the sense that, you know, we haven't really seen him mix it up with any names in the division. But are the people that give him as much credit and pass as they do for the Golovkin fight and loss? Because that's basically that's the main reason people say, he was in the Golovkin fight, or he chose to fight Golovkin, or his orbital bone was broken with Golovkin, so that's why he hasn't been doing anything. How much of a pass do we give him for that? Like, when is enough enough?
Well, I think before I address that, I think we should next give out the odds, right? Is that fair? The odds, right? So I think the best website, I forgot, it's like sportsbet.com or boxing odds. It gives us all of the different betting websites, right? So LAD Brokes, which is a UK-based betting online sports site. And before people go, oh, it's a UK-based sports betting, so they're going to be biased. I mean, gambling's different over here. So a lot of the betting sites are not based in the United States. It has Kell Brook as -137 and Errol Spence as +110. So that's close to a 1.5, 1.5 favorite, right? So if you risk $137, you get back $237, right? Your principal plus another.
Yeah, but that's on Earl, not on Spence. I mean, excuse me, not on Brooke.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I got it backwards. Yeah. If you risk $137, you get back $100. My bad. I miscalculated that. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's close, but Kell Brook is the favorite. And I think that's important to take in consideration. And I actually disagree with Matt. I think
almost a 1.5, you know, he's almost 1.5 to 1 because, I mean, if you bet on $100 on Spence, you know, you're going to get 250, right? Basically, what, 237, excuse me.
No, if you bet on what, Kell Brook, you're saying? I mean, Earl Spence?
If you put $100 on Spence, you get 237 back.
No, no, no. It doesn't work like that because the odds makers, there has to be a gap between the odds because the odds makers have to make their money, right? They're the ones that are risking it. So based on that line, Earl Spence is a plus 110. So that means if I give up $100, that means I get back my principal plus $110. So he's a slight underdog based on the odds.
All right, so I was off by what? $27. I said 237.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, but that's the point I'm trying to make. And to touch upon your question really quickly, and then we could get on to, you know, more discussion.
Before we move on, I know that we had a few misled sheep early in. So these numbers look so, flawed. We would love you to hit the thumbs up button for the early morning show. Remember, this is a spontaneous show, something extra. We're taking extra time out of our day to talk about this topic with you guys. So if you do appreciate it, the thumbs up is always welcome. Go ahead, MD.
Oh, my bad. So you were saying how much excuse does he hit? How much excuse does he get for fighting GGG, right? How far does that go? I don't know.
You know, I mean, how long do we give him, you know?
Right. But I don't think, okay, so.
Because I think that I just want to say this. I let you guys go at it because you're nemesis is whatever. But I think that Matt does have a point. I think that there is like a paper trail of quotes of him trying to fight other people, not name Earl Spence. So, yes, your title is clever and the quote-unquote ducker is now in the fight that we thought he was not going to take. But to Matt's credit, did he really want to be here or didn't he want to be in a Manny Pacquiao fight or an Amir Khan fight? But
Miguel Cotto fight.
Miguel, yeah, but those guys said no.
I know. Okay, you say that, but even so simply, right, because you're assuming that he would have taken those fights and whatever, Eddie Hearn. I mean, you could even just view it as simply a bargaining ploy against Kell Brook, who was his mentor, to get a bigger share of the purse. That's also a factor too, right? He's like, oh, I have all these other fights available, right? So you're going to adhere to my terms and come over, right? And I'm not saying that's wrong or right. I'm saying that that's a possibility. So I'm just saying that I don't think that Kell Brook, who, and let's also not forget too, that a lot of us, even myself included, is giving Wilder, this fight, or whoever, Gerald Washington, it was the Polish guy who I didn't forget, because he was injured. Kell Brook, one of the reasons which retarded, I use that term in the actual sense, not as a pejorative term, right, which is to impede the progression of his career, it was the fact that he was stabbed and he had an injury. So then he had to take a fight after that. So it's not just he is not fighting anybody and this and that. I think that there's more caveats to that. And I think that...
No, but he was stabbed when he was like 34-0, man.
Right. And then he took a fight. Listen, I'm not justifying all of Kell Brook's decisions. I'm just saying that I think that we hold double standards to certain fighters that don't fit our agenda, right? And for example, Earl Spence, right? Like I said, who's the biggest puncher Earl Spence has faced? Honestly, Leonard Bundu?
Van Heerden.
Okay. Van Heerden, right? So I think there's a lot more questions unanswered about Earl Spence's pedigree and what he brings to the table.
Well, one question that there isn't that we can't ask Earl Spence or have for him is his willingness to fight. Because, you know, let's use the double standard here, Matt. Let's use it, right? People are so quick to say that Wilder is a bum because he has 30-something fights. Guess who has 30-something fights over here? Kell Brook. People are so quick to say Joshua's the second coming of Jesus fucking Christ because he's doing it quicker than Wilder. He's only got 18 fights. Well, guess who's got about 18 fights? Earl Spence. Now, let's talk about when Earl Spence was 18-0 and when Kell Brook was fucking 18-0. Kell Brook has a trilogy on his record. Look, it's very easy to discredit Kell Brook. So let's not go down that route because Earl Spence put names like Ronald Cruz, Van Heerden, Chris Algieri, all on his resume in a shorter time span than Kell Brook. And it's the same double standard for Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, I agree. I think that no matter what, we're always going to have double standards. Like, we all have biases. Like, MD has bias, I have bias, you have bias. And that's even the callers have bias, people in the chat have bias. We're all biased. People in the UK are more biased towards UK guys. Us in the US, we just see more US fighters more often. So we're biased towards them in a sense. But this fight's great. Like, you know, we can talk about who was avoided, who's ducking who, and all this other shit. And we can discredit both their resumes. We can, honestly. And we can bring them both up. We can say that they're both great. They have both great resumes. But in all actuality, this fight's amazing. This fight is, in my opinion, for whoever's going to be in the top five of the welterweight class. You know?
But is it, though?
Yeah, I think so, 100%.
If I believe all my UK friends and my UK listeners, Errol Spence isn't ready. And this should be a blowout.
I mean,
I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
Isn't ready or is an underdog are two different things. I think he's ready to take this fight, right? I would not say that Errol Spence isn't ready. I don't think that, boxing is not as deep as it was in the past. And boxing, you know, it's not necessarily a clear ladder to get to the upper echelon of the weight division, right? This is his opportunity and he should be taking it. And I think that he is ready. He might, I'm not favoring him, but that doesn't mean he's not ready, right? Does that make sense? Yes.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. Yeah. Listen, I'm just playing devil's advocate. The problem is 90%, well, not 90, 10% of the people that listen, lead with their emotions. I'm just giving both sides of the coin, right? Because, again, according to the world, Kell Brook has the better resume because of the Sean Porter win, because what not being able to be knocked out by Gennady Golovkin. Whereas, you know, a guy like MD says, look, Errol Spence only been in there with Chris Algieri, and he's Paulie Malignaggi's cousin.
The thing is that Kell Brook has the better resume in a sense, obviously with the Sean Porter win, but Errol Spence has looked phenomenal by doing what he's been doing. Kell Brook has not looked the same that Errol Spence has in their respective careers against respective opponents, in my opinion. That's where you get the Errol Spence truthers, the fanboys coming out saying that he's the next coming of Jesus Christ. Is because he has looked so incredible doing it. Knocking out Chris Algieri the way he did was something. That does mean something. Provodnikov can do that. Manny Pacquiao can do that. Amir Khan can do that. All these people, all these greats in their respective divisions could not do that against Chris Algieri. Errol Spence goes in there and beats that boy like he never boxed before. So like that does something to fans. Whether it's true or not, we're going to see on fight night against Kell Brook, whether he is that real. But Errol Spence has looked the truth coming into this fight. He has.
Let me ask you guys.
Ness, can I say one thing before you ask this question? Let me just ask you a question. I agree that the Kell Brook versus Carson Jones fight was not good. At least the first one was not good, right? But neither was the Danny Garcia versus Mauricio Herrera, right? And Mauricio Herrera has recently got destroyed by Frankie Gomez. Literally destroyed, right? So I'm just saying that fighters improve and fighters, you know, fight down to their competition. And when he was when he was challenged against Kell Brook, he stepped up and he did well. I thought he won. Whether you like how the fight happened or not, I thought he won more clear cut than Keith Thurman. I thought he, you know, if you base it on rounds and you base it on scoring, I thought he won a wider margin than Keith Thurman. And also against the Golovkin fight, a lot of people thought that he was doing decent against Golovkin, even giving him his best fight, up to date. So I think Kell Brook may be one of these guys who fights down to his competition, and also the fact that he may have improved as he progresses as a pro. So I think that we cannot focus on his past to necessarily give an indication of where he is right now.
I'm kind of at a loss for words that people don't get the Wilder analogy. I mean, after looking at Kell Brook's resume, I mean, it's really Wilder, right?
It's confusing, Ness, because a lot of people hear some things that come out of your mouth about Wilder that's reasonable and unreasonable. So, like, I don't know if you're trolling or not trolling. So,
I think he's right. I think you're 100% right, Ness. Like, look at JoJo Dan and Frankie Gavin and Kevin Bizier. They're the Joan Duhapis. They're the Arthur Spilkas. You know, the Sean Porter is Remains to Vern. Yeah, I can see it. I completely see it.
Except that Kell Brook lost. And Kell Brook doesn't have the same knockout ratio.
Yeah, but, it's hard to compare because you're saying Wilder doesn't have somebody above him to step up who's the best at that division. So it's a difficult analogy to make.
Joshua, Klitschko, every other heavyweight that people say would crush Wilder.
No, it's different, I think. It's different. No, it's different. Like, how could you say?
Double standards.
It's not a double standard. He doesn't move up purely in the sense that Kell Brook was fighting out of his weight class against the best guy in the two weight classes above.
That's for casuals. You and I know that was a money grab. We're talking about $5-6 million. Who the fuck? Nigga, I'll run in front of a car for that amount of money. Stop it. We know the truth. You and I, hardcore fans, we know the truth.
I knew that he had no chance to win the fight, but like I said, I don't give a fuck like what you guys say, but like it wasn't like Kell Brook just threw in the towel and quit.
Of course
he didn't fought Golovkin.
He didn't throw in the towel because he got gloves on. But let me give you another analogy, right? People say, Wilder's fought 36 bums. Bermain Stavern's the only good name. All right. So who the fuck is Kell Brook for?
Who the fuck's Kell Brook fought? Like I said, when he's matched with a tough boxer like Sean Porter, he steps up the competition and does well, right?
Okay, so then when Wilder was matched with a tough boxer like Stavern, he stepped up and he boxed well.
To be honest, I think it's unfair to compare Sean Porter to Bermain Stavern because Bermain Stavern's best win is a double D.
Porter's best win is Devin Alexander.
Okay.
Right now, out of the ring, maybe 2 years.
Are you going to tell me that Devin Alexander's career is mirrors? Of Chris Areola?
We don't have to argue because I know where you're going. His career, obviously on paper, when it's all said and done, he's going to go down as one of St. Louis's best boxers. You know, whether the hardcore fans or the trolls in the chat don't agree, Devin Alexander was a two-division champion. You know, he dominated 140 for a short amount of time, for a good amount of time until he had to clash with Tim Bradley, you know? You had to have seen his career the way that I did to truly appreciate him. But at welterweight, it was a different story. The same way people are questioning Danny Garcia moving up to welterweight now.
Yeah, and I'll give Stuart Little a shout out in the chat because it's a good point. You remember that he dominated Adrian Broner, right? He dominated him, Adrian Broner,
Broner didn't even throw a punch in like six rounds.
Much more than even someone like Marcus Maidana did, right?
Who dominated Adrian Broner? Who are you talking about?
Porter.
The guy that got knocked down in the 12th round?
Porter,
the
guy. Dominated him.
You can't use the word dominate and you get dropped in the 12th, okay? Getting dropped in the first and the second, that's different. Dropped in the 12th, that's totally, totally different.
And we know Broner fought a shit fight. Come on, we know that. We know that.
Let me ask you a question. Was Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. dominated by...
Yes, because it was every single round. You can't say that about the Porter, Sean Porter, Broner fight. I was live at that.
I can. I mean, it wasn't as brutal. Like, Sean Porter's not as sexy of a boxer as far as, like, punch combinations and
we're off topic here, man. Believe me,
you're just digging yourself in a hole with a lot of things you're saying. I'm just calling.
No, I'm not. Sorry. No, I'm not. People say Wilder has 36 bums. I'm saying that Kell Brook has 35 bums. What's the difference?
Because Kell Brook has proven when he's matched with a tough fighter that he steps up and looks good. That's it. That's the difference.
Wilder proved that when he was matched with Bermain, he stepped up.
If Wilder looked how you think he would look against someone like Povetkin, right? And it's not his fault that that fight didn't happen. Then we would agree with you. But I'm saying again that Bermain Stavern is not comparable to Sean Porter. I'm sorry, he's not. He's really not. Bermain Stavern's, like I said, and we just discussed that and broke it down, and you agreed with me on that. So that's
fair.
Very quickly.
No. Before we open up, let's try and talk about the actual fight. And the actual betting lines, because we went everywhere with this. Unfortunately, this is the type of fight, you know, that you know, gets people picking sides and saying things that we really don't mean, because at the end of the day, we really like the fight. I really like the fight. I'm happy that it's done. So much so that I'm even contemplating going over there. The whole team, we want to go over there and hopefully get to the UK for this one, you know? So don't get it misconstrued, you know? I want to see this fight. I'm not picking Earl, but I'm not picking Kel either. But the last time I picked against Kel, you know, it didn't go well. He, at the very least, has gears, and I have to admit it, because even though I don't like the gear of holding, it was a tactic that Sean Porter could not evade or himself change gears to try and do something else. So I'm always going to respect them, all right? I don't want, you know, because these UK fans, you're so, you know, you guys are so disrespectful. That's the problem. You're quick to think that we are, but it's you guys that come with the cunts and all these other words, all right? Like, I respect Kel for also getting in the ring with Triple G, no matter what I say. But at the end of the day, we know it's a fucking money grab. But I still respect it because, yo, you could still get your fucking head knocked off. You know what I'm saying?
Or your orbital bone broken.
Yeah, or worse. Like, yes, you know, there's a lot of money, and we would probably all jump at the opportunity to make that amount of money to equate it with that amount of risk. Not necessarily getting in the ring, but just to equate it with that amount of risk.
How many fighters, Ness, turned down big money fights?
Never. Who the fuck turns it down?
Nobody ever turns down a big money fight. Not
multiple million, bro. Like, I've heard of people turn down a $1 million fight, but like, yo, you turning down 4 point something? Nah, I never heard of that shit.
I mean, supposedly Amir Khan just turned down a fight with Kel Brook, and I'm sure it was multiple millions of dollars, right?
Wilder just sued Povetkin and won $4.5 million because he was going to make so much money in the Povetkin fight, and it didn't happen, and he wanted his fucking money. Are you crazy? Listen, that amount...
What does that have to do with anything?
What I'm saying is the amount of... Like, when it's multiple millions of dollars, everyone jumps at the opportunity. So much so that that fight fell apart, and he wanted his money anyway, so he sued and got it. That's what I'm saying. Like... When it's that much, you're going to do whatever you got to do to get it.
I think your analogy failed. Ness, for the future, I just think that you should sometimes use different fighters and different weight classes than Wilder, because I could easily just debunk your whole argument and say, was Manny Pacquiao ducking Floyd Mayweather when Floyd Mayweather said, I'll give you $40 million flat? When we all know after the dust settled, he made $150 million. So it's a lot more complicated than that. And you can't just
talking about ducking. What are you talking about?
The same concept you are. You're saying
he wants to argue. He just wants to argue.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I'm letting
whatever I said went over your head, and I will explain it again because you look doctor. Okay. What I am saying, listen, it doesn't matter. We got a lot of callers for whatever reason. It's a morning show, and it's a lot of people. I'm gonna bring on someone who's probably gonna defend your point anyway.
Boomerang though. We do have a boomerang on.
Who's that?
Compa.
Let's get to Compa. He's probably on his way to work over there in sunny California. Can you bring him in? I don't even see him.
Yeah, I got him. Compa.
What's up, boxing boys? Good looking now, man. Straight up. Right now, I'm a Compa de Riverside. You know, I'm out here in Riverside working. What up?
What's up, man? Brother?
Matt, the hipster.
What up, Compa?
Nothing much, man. What up? Nothing much, man. So the topic is about Wilder.
Yo, you staying away from the Orville Dam, right?
No, the topic is actually that Kel Brook is almost a 1.5 favorite over Errol Spence Jr.
And you know what? As he should be, man. You know, he's the more proven fighter. You know, he fought the guys, man. So, you know, as he should be. I always like going with the resume over eye test. But let's just see the fight, man. That's the problem with boxing, man, is that they don't, you know, make the fights right away, you know, like the UFC. But I'm happy that the fight's going to happen. And that's all I got, boxing boys. Good looking now.
All right.
Hey, MD, what's up with that MD versus Matt, though? Is that MD versus Matt real, or is it all hype? You know,
it's starting. No, it's happening. It's happening.
Pacquiao. All right. Just making sure. You're looking now, boxing boy.
Oh, man. Hilarious.
And I just want to let people know one thing, because I know people bring up UFC. It's actually not the case in the UFC now that fights are always made. And Matt, I don't want to get into it too much, but Matt, you could tell me straight up that someone like Khabib, right? The fight should be made with Conor and it's not being made. So it's changing, just like it's growing and it's becoming more
price like fighting. Fighting is always prize fighting. You're always going to fight for the biggest prize, no matter of competition. This isn't like, I know like in combat sports, this has always been a thing. Like, are we a sport or are we entertainment? And we're kind of both. We're sports entertainment, you know, and we don't have a true ranking system and all this stuff. So I'll digress. We're going to get back to Khabib Earl Spence, but you're right that, you know, this is prize fighting. People are going to fight for the biggest prize no matter what. So now we're getting the most sporting aspect with this fight.
And Tyrone Woodley is another example. Tyrone Woodley is another example.
Let me get out to some of these callers here whenever you guys are ready.
We're good.
Ready? Ready? With your little MMA talk.
Remember me? I'm Stuart Little. I'm Stuart Little.
What's happening, Nesta?
What's happening, Stuart? I see you calling me an idiot.
What on earth are you?
Yo, Stuart, do you have a pillow over there to put Nesta's head, you know, Nesta's head down from him going to sleep or not? Nah?
Well, listen, for a start, the title is an absolute disgrace.
Well, then come at MD.
He's just signed.
Come at MD. That's
Stuart, let me justify it and let you go, because it's to show that everybody was calling him the ducker, and it's in quotes, because it's bullshit, right?
It's sarcasm, and it's almost like
they're not smart enough.
No, I'm not saying Stu's not intelligent. I'm saying that it's almost to, I guess, defend Khabib Brook. That's how I viewed it as, and that's kind of why I chose that as a title.
Well, the thing is, MD, I thought Nez probably did the title, so that's why I thought it was retarded, because he's good at writing retarded titles.
Or you weren't intelligent enough to notice the sarcasm in it, that's all. Just like you're not intelligent enough to see my analogy with the Wilder and the Brook. You can't debunk it.
Yeah. Well, if you let me fucking talk, I might be able to. What a load of bollocks that analogy is about fucking Wilder. Wilder's on his 39th fight and he's fought nobody with a pulse. I mean, you give Khabib Brook this stick calling him a ducker, right?
I never called him a ducker. So get your facts straight.
Well, other people then, right? So his last two fights, is the biggest puncher in the 160 division, and he probably would be the biggest puncher if he moved up to 167.
So Stuart, let me ask you a question. Would you not fight Gennady Golovkin for all those pounds that Khabib Brook got?
If you let me finish.
No. Answer the question. Would you not come the fuck off your little porch and fight Gennady Golovkin for all of them pounds that Khabib Brook received? Will you not do it?
Yes, I would.
So then don't fucking tell me that Khabib Brook did anything special. He would do anything that anyone in that position would do.
But Stuart Little doesn't have an Amir Khan fight on the horizon, right? Like, you act like Khabib Brook has nothing to lose. Like, he has nothing to lose, right? And his fucking orbital was broken. He did not leave that fight unscathed, Ness. What are you talking about?
He didn't have anything to lose because his promoter is one of the best, and he made it at so that he could go up in weight. Okay, fight this man for millions and millions of dollars. His trainer threw in the towel before he could get hurt, come back down to his own fucking weight with the title, and have 100 postponements. Okay,
it's funny you say that when all the American fighters, and I'm not just saying that, and there's European fighters, are so obsessed with that O, right? So maybe he put a value on that O, but don't act like he didn't have anything to lose. What are you talking about?
Is Triple G asking for fucking postponements, or is he making fights happen? Didn't he fight Dominic Wade? Name all the other fucking people that Triple G fought when it's mandatory, when it was time. How about Bernard Hopkins? How about Roy Jones? Huh? How about even fucking Adrian Broner fighting his mandatories, huh? Stop the bullshit. Stop it. No one get matter of fact, wait a minute, Stuart. Hey, hipster, Give me another relevant case of another fight that took this motherfucking long, had this many fucking extensions, and it was this much bullshit where one fighter is saying, I got my neck on you. I got my foot on your fucking neck. You ain't going nowhere, but you giving me my shot. Where have we seen this at? When's the last time? Except for Gennady Golovkin and Canelo Alvarez. And what do you call Canelo Alvarez today? A ducker.
Because he dropped the fucking belt. If Kelbrook dropped the belt and chose to fight Kevin Bisier 2.0, he'd be a motherfucking ducker too. But that's why you should reserve your emotions and look at...
That's why guys like Stewart can't come up here and discredit the title when there was a stigma built around Kelbrook as if he was a ducker because he was doing all the same characteristics as Canelo. Then we find out that he's taking the fight. We put a catchy title and an idiot can't get it, comes on here screaming at me. That's not my problem. We know what we're doing, okay? That is the point that I just proved. Canelo was ducking. These two were doing the same characteristics. One man proved he is not a ducker, in quotes. Simple as that. If you're not intelligent, you're not intelligent.
Let's do burn, though. We should let him burn, though. I apologize to you for taking every call.
Oh, is that okay? Can I, please? I mean, fuck's sake, it's meant to be a show where you call us, call in, and as soon as you say, hear something you don't want to hear, you fucking take over the show and rant for about half an hour. And I can answer some of them questions if you let me fucking talk. Now, the thing is, you're calling, not you, some people are calling him a ducker, right? His last two fights have been against the biggest puncher in the middleweight division, and probably would 168. If he went up to that division, it would be the same. 147, the biggest puncher, Errol Spence. That's his next fight after having a fractured eye socket. So this guy, apparently this coward, is fighting the biggest puncher in the 147 division after just getting in with a guy that's probably the biggest puncher in boxing, full stop. Unless Wilder's took all these risks. Wilder's took no risk. Wilder went to Russia for a holiday. He knew he was never going to take that fight because he heard about the fucking the steroid fucking test. He went there so he could get super.
Speculation.
Well, Stu, I agree. Before that, I agree with every single thing you said before that. Before the what you brought up,
yes, I agree
with every single thing you said.
That's
before
what
that.
Losers have to do: make shit up, fabricate things. We use facts. He fabricates.
And you know, let's go on to the fight quickly. Let's go on to the fight. I don't care whether you think that's true or not. There's a bit something fishy going around. Do you know what I mean? But we'll talk about that another day. Let's go on to the fight. That Errol Spence, very big puncher. He's a very dangerous guy, a very strong guy. But for once, he's not going to be the biggest guy in the ring. For once, he's going to come against a guy that's probably got one of the best right hands in boxing when it comes to accuracy. Straight right down the pipe, he's a southpaw. Kell Brook has dominated 8 southpaws. Knocked all of them out, right? And you're talking about a guy who's not took no risk. Porter, and you was telling us how great Porter was. He was the welterweight Mike Tyson, destroying everyone. No one gave Kell Brook a chance. Yet when he gets the win, Porter's just average all of a sudden, isn't he? And now Porter didn't bash Brian up. He dominated 10 rounds. So what if he got knocked on the floor? Fucking Joe Calzaghe got knocked on the floor against Roy Jones. And who dominated that fight?
Yeah, but those were the shittiest 10 rounds ever.
Yeah, but because you didn't like it doesn't mean it wasn't dominant.
No, there was no action by either guy. It's dominant. He controlled it, but he didn't like.
What is Floyd Mayweather's entire career?
He didn't throw any punches.
What is Floyd Mayweather's entire career?
Come on, man.
What is Floyd Mayweather's entire career? Stop that.
Yo, let me tell you something about Stewart, because he talks about us cutting him off and look at all the time that he gets. But there's evidence on the internet of this guy saying that Errol Spence hasn't fought anybody. There's evidence of him and his opinion. Let me finish, Stewart. I'll let you finish and you pause. That's the only reason I'm talking. There's evidence of you discrediting Chris Algieri. How little you think of his punching power. So now, you know, on this phone call, you want to make it seem like Errol is somebody, but I've seen you before the fight was signed. I've seen you and heard you, okay, discrediting Errol Spence and how he's never fought anyone, okay? All right. So give us your genuine fucking opinion. Don't come on here trying to say that Errol is a good puncher and all this bullshit. All right. Speak the truth. You think he's shit. Tell the truth. Don't try to fucking leave a back door open when this fight happens. Take your side now the way you've been taking it before it was signed. I got my eye on all of you. I got my eye on all of you. None of y'all can fucking hide. I'm like Santa Claus. Yeah, I checked my list.
You have your eye on me.
Yeah, I know.
You'll see the video I put. I've always said, look, he's a dangerous kid. He's a strong kid. But he's fought no one. I'm not going to give him credit for Bundu because Frankie Gavin should have got that win against him. Algeri, I mean, what a fucking clown he is. I mean, he's just they put him in there to get his ass whooped. That's what he's there for, just to take an ass whooping.
That's right.
He's the guy that almost beat Amir Khan.
Not in Kell Brook's league. Say it. Come on. Say what you really want to say.
Kell Brook's stoppage mid-rounds, he's going to – Errol Spence, far too easy to hit. He's going to be walking straight forward on the right hands. And there's only so many of them right hands you're going to take before you have to start holding. And Spence really isn't really a good holder either. He's got – you know, he's more of a boxer puncher, right? So, but he doesn't move his head. He's so easy to hit. Kell Brook, one of the most accurate punchers around. And he's very hard to hit. You only have to look at how Golovkin was so frustrated. He was getting mad with himself, smacking himself, because he couldn't hit Kell Brook. He's tricky. He's slick. He knows what shots come. Errol Spence is going to walk onto some bums, and that's all she wrote. And then you're going to have to find another hype job to do our heads in about. But don't ever call Kell Brook a ducker when he has far better resume than Beyonce Wilder, who's fighting Denzel Washington in his fucking next fight, isn't he?
That's all I wanted was the truth out of you. Thank you for calling in, Stuart. Let's go out to some other alumni. Another man, I wish you were coming to the party. But he all the way from very far.
If I was at the club, you know I balled. Chemo.
What's going on, boys? How's it going?
Chemo, what's up?
Yo, brother? You hyped that you get to see Manny Pacquiao potentially in your backyard?
God. I mean, if it's against that Australian bum, I'm probably just going to skip it because I know they're going to overprice that shit like crazy over here. But let's not talk about that, man. I mean, we got an interesting discussion going here with Spence and Brooke. I'm actually going to side a little bit with Ness on this. I think he makes some fair points. I mean, let's start off with the criticism that Brooke gets. You know, like, that's all warranted, man. I mean, when it comes to these other fucking trash cans that wears mandatories, you know, Hearn and himself are always saying like, oh, yo, I got to honor the mandatories. But when it's fucking Spence, it takes a long ass time to make. They keep talking in the media about fucking Cotto, about Khan. I mean, this shit is warranted. Okay, he took the fight. But are we really going to give a guy praise for taking his fucking mandatory? Really? Is that how low our standards have become?
He's not praising. And I'm not praising anybody for taking their mandatory. I'm just reacting to the overwhelming American, narrative that Kell Brook is afraid to fight Errol Spence and that he's ducking. I'm not praising him. There's a difference.
He just took the fight. So you can't say that he's ducking, but anything leading up to this point, I think has been justified. I mean, you can only say you can only receive back, you know, from what you've said in the media, and what he said and what his promoter has said so far has not looked good. So I don't understand why we have to get all fucking pissy about it and be like, oh, Kell Brook has done so much. He has done fuck all. Okay, he's got one win, and Spence has got one win. So there isn't that big of a difference. Okay, Porter is obviously a better win than Algeri, but it's one fucking win, guys. I mean, I talk a lot of shit about, you know, for example, Danny Garcia in the past, but his resume is like a million times better than fucking Brook, man. Come on, dude. The guy has one fucking win where he held all night, where he should have been disqualified. And we all fucking know that, but we pretend it's not the case. But anyway, and then he went up in weight to 160 and got knocked the fuck out and smashed by Golovkin. And I'm not one of these retards that pretends like Brook was doing a fantastic job. He got smashed, dude. But what are we going to take away from that? Oh, he's so brave. And then before even a knockdown took place, they threw in the towel. So again, we're left with one fucking win. Well, very impressive. To me, this is a good fight because these guys are actually kind of, you know, one is a little bit more experienced. The other one is right behind him.
Kimo, let me ask you a question. I agree kind of what you're saying about the, you know, I'm obviously one of the people that I gave Kell Brook only a round, and I thought that he did some things, but I thought that it was pretty much a Golovkin walk down. But you cannot act like in a sport that the O matters so much that he had nothing to lose by giving up that O, right? I mean, that's how. I mean, think about how many American fighters are like, "I got it O, like I don't want to let it go." I mean, it matters so much. Like there was some backlash or some residual effects of that. In addition, his orbital bone was broken. It wasn't like he just, you know, had a phantom knockout, you know?
You know what that was? You know what that was, MD? That was an exit strategy, yeah? Because they couldn't make a fight for this guy. And then you have guys, you know, like, I'm just going to name drop here, Rob Palmer, who say that everybody's ducking Brook, which I think is total bullshit, by the way. But whatever. You know, he didn't have a fight. Khan didn't want to fight him. You know, guys like Bradley obviously have better things to do than come to Sheffield for fucking peanuts. You know, like, he didn't have an option. He had a cash-out fight against the middleweight, and he took it. It's exactly like Ness said. You would fucking take the same goddamn fight. And he didn't have anything else on the table, otherwise it would have gotten made already, MD. Brook, I mean, what's so appealing about Brook as an opponent? Why, he holds the fucking IBF belt? Oh, we're really jumping up for that.
Well, because Kimo, I'll tell you what's appealing, and I know you said he should have been disqualified, but it wasn't until this year, or I guess the beginning of last year, that we saw two top five welterweights face off, right? And when Kell Brook faced his top five welterweight, he did better than a guy who I am personally a fan of.
That's subjective, though. That's a very subjective opinion.
In my opinion, this is my opinion.
Yeah.
So, Kimo, I know you, the fight wasn't aesthetically pleasing, and I know the holding was obsessive, but I think that based on that, I think that it's fair to value Brook pretty high in that division.
Yeah, okay, but what's your point? I mean, just because he's ranked in top five doesn't make him, I mean, anything.
Well, no, because you're saying what's appealing about him. Appealing is that
I don't understand it.
Well, what's appealing about him is I think that he's – well, who do you have above him?
Are you talking in terms of resume or skill set or
– whatever, however you want to define it. However you want to define it.
Thurman.
And I just brought up the fact that I thought that he did better against Sean Porter than Thurman. You could disagree, but it's –
Thurman has a better resume.
Fair, but I'm saying
I don't think he did better because he should have been fucking disqualified. I don't think that's considered doing better.
Listen, there's a lot of fights I feel that way. Like I thought Floyd Mayweather was obscene in the second Maidana fight with the holding. Obscene.
That's what I'm hoping. But
I can't go back and say he should have been disqualified, so take away the win from him, right? I mean, it's just difficult to do that, Kimo.
Hold on a minute, Kimo.
Robert, you got to mute yourself, buddy. We're coming to you next.
Yeah, let me just make a quick point and I'll get out. Like, it's not even, I'm just talking in terms of resume, right? This guy has nothing fucking special. Yeah. But having said that, if you look at the fight stylistically, I think that people that are picking Brook actually make some fair points. Because Spence is an aggressive guy. He might change his style for this fight, by the way. We don't know that. I mean, the kid obviously might have a diverse skill set. But if you look at the way they usually fight, it might be a very tough night. And I don't think it's insane to think that Brook might have a stylistic advantage here. But I think a lot of it depends on the weight, man. I mean, Brook is a fat ass. You've seen pictures of him between fights. And he kind of ate his way up as well to 160. And now he's got to come back down. That worries me. So, to be honest, I'm only comfortable picking after the weigh-in and see what he looks like.
That's fair enough. But I also think that – I think it's easier, right, to lose fat. You know, when you become a fat ass like Kell Brook has, right, you know, put on a little bit of weight. Where Errol Spence, I think maybe he has a tough time making that weight division just by how he looks in his frame because he doesn't really have any more fat to lose, right? So I agree that both guys are going to have a hard time making weight. So I don't really – factor that in as much, but I understand where you're coming from, Kimo, because you hear a lot of the UK rhetoric about Kell Brook, and I understand that. But like why I feel the way I feel is because everybody is over here is, I think they're overvaluing Errol Spence when they're when they neglect to give other guys credit who have proven much more, shown more caveats to the game. Because at the end of the day, I mean, his best win is Chris Algieri. And in that Leonard Bundu fight, he was getting hit. So,
and what is Anthony Joshua's best win?
Until he beats Klitschko, I don't deem him the second coming, right?
So, but the world does. So if our world deems Errol Spence the fucking second coming, what's the difference? You see the double standards?
I have my own opinions, right? So you should try to do your same. Like, I have my specific own opinions. I'm part of the boxing voice, but I have my own opinions. So I don't care what the world says. I just go by what I feel or whatever.
I love to bring up the double standards. Okay. Is Chris Algieri better than fucking Charles Martin?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Has Chris Algieri fought better opposition than Charles Martin?
Hell yeah. He beat Provodnikov, the boogeyman at 140.
That's all I'm saying, man. It's a lot of fucking bullshit around here, but it's all good. Robert, talk to me.
Hi, how you guys doing? Great show as usual. Good time you have it at this time of the day, so I'm able to log in and listen live. Looking forward to seeing all of you guys in New York. As for Kell Brook, I still don't believe the fight's going to take place. He's going to find a way to back out. If he does fight Spence, I actually believe he'll win. But again, I don't think the fight's going to take place.
Robert, I just want to say I am so happy you're coming. I sent you an email so you could get the tickets next to, Enrique. I'm glad you're coming all the way from the UK. That's amazing, you know. I'm just happy. It's going to be another B-roll. We're going to have a couple of UK guys over there. Man, freaking T's coming all the way from Toronto. It's just going to be amazing. You really put a smile on my face. I just wanted to thank you personally.
Why don't you think the fight's going to happen?
Well, Kell Brook has a history of not fighting top guys. He's working from the Chris Eubank senior playbook, where they win a title and then spend the rest of their career fighting local fighters.
To add some facts to your opinion, the date is not official yet. It was reported that it was May 20th. Eddie Hearn came out afterwards and said that maybe May 27th.
You've seen the last few weeks, he's looking for other fights. He's looking for a fight big enough for the IBF to give him a pass, in my opinion.
That's all I'm saying. But I didn't even...
You're okay with that conspiracy theory, but you're not okay with Stuart Little's conspiracy theory? No, listen,
MD, that's what you just cut me off. I'm not even saying that because as far as I'm concerned, I thought it was May 20th. Now is the date changed?
Eddie Hearn came out right after that date was announced. They said it could be May 27th. Maybe a week later.
I hope. Hey, Robert, I'm going to get to some others. If you're done, are you?
Yeah, I'm done.
All right,
I'll
brother.
Keep listening.
Keep yourself on mute there. Let me get out to Boxing Register. Where are you calling in from, brother?
Calling from Liverpool, England.
First time calling in?
Yeah, first time. First. Also Patreon.
Oh, you're also a page. Oh, amazing, amazing. Well, then you know the tradition around here. Let me give you the intro because you know we got hand wraps somewhere with a sniper rifle.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut.
All the way from across the pond in Liverpool, it's Boxing Register.
What's on your mind, brother? Talk to us.
That was a good intro. I like that.
One and a half favorite is Kell Brook over Errol Spence.
Yeah, I'd agree he's the favourite. Kell Brook should be the favourite because he's got the more experience, more fights under his belt, being a pro a lot longer. But he's only had one notable win in 13 years. He was hurt by Carson Jones, if anyone remembers that. And he was also hurt against Senchenko on the ropes as well. We definitely know Spence can bang, but he's unproven. He still needs his whiskers tested as well, doesn't he?
Absolutely. See, the claims that Stewart and MD have of Algieri not being a puncher, those are true. We can't deny that.
Yeah, but I do think as well that Kell Brook was also trying to, I wouldn't call it a duck. He was desperate for the Khan fight. He wants the money fight, the big money. And I do think now that the Khan fight would have been a lot easier than what it would have been 2 years ago, because I would have tipped Khan 2 years ago, but Brooks come on a lot stronger since then. And I don't think he wants this Spence fight, but because the fans are demanding it now, he can't back down from it. He can't just give up the belt. But if he would have had the option to fight Khan, he would have ducked Spence, in my opinion. And I do think it would have been a duck as well. It would have been classed as a duck, in my opinion.
Can't agree. I mean, I can't disagree, right? I cannot disagree. But I'm glad that more and more, you know, Europeans are calling in with the same opinion, because it takes away some of the heat off of me. In the chat, they have me as this biased maniac. But there's about three straight callers that, you know, have the same opinion. We just feel like there was a little bit of prolonging, a little bit of dancing.
Avoiding.
A little bit of dancing.
For whatever that reason was, you can. I think we all have different opinions on why there was an avoidance of Errol Spence for a period of time, but we all can't deny that there was an avoidance of Errol Spence.
For sure. Well, listen, Boxing Register, are you all?
Yes. Was Danny Garcia avoiding a big fight, so he had to take 10 easy ones?
I mean, he's in a fight with Keith Thurman, right?
But he was avoiding a big fight, right?
Okay, he fought Lamont Peterson. What are you talking about? He fought Lamont Peterson.
Wait a minute. But since you want to talk about Danny Garcia, he holds more top 10 opponents under his resume than...
I'm not arguing that. I'm saying that it's... Listen, it's fucking boxing. No, like,
it's a bad analogy was the words that you wanted to say.
No, I'm just saying that like
you guys are getting your ass kicked. You remember that movie Kick Ass, when in that part where the bad guy says kick ass kicked. And that's what's happening to you. You're getting your ass kicked today.
Ness is ingesting some type of kush that's making him feel that way, right? Oh. In reality, right, it's not the case at all.
Thank you. The last four callers. That's all I can say. Let's get a little MD rally here. Who's gonna call for MD? You know the number 1-4-2-5-5-6-9.
You don't even know what I'm fucking arguing, Ness.
5241. Add Nestor Gibbs on Skype. Boxing Register. Are you all done so I can get to some others?
Yeah, take care.
All right, brother. Thank you so much for calling in. Man, we're getting international, boys. Let's go out to Larry, alumni, Patreon, all the love. What's going on, Larry? Talk to us. 1.5 favorite over Spence.
Yeah, no, big ups to the boxing boys. Sure, for the on-demand, for the immediate reaction show. And Nest, because I have so much love and respect for you and because I appreciate the show so much, I'm going to give you a complete pass on that preposterous Romain Stern Sean Porter comparison. Does not work today, tomorrow, or ever, but let's just let that go and move on. I got a question, though, for MD. How long does it take to recover from the broken orbital bone? And once you recover, what's the risk of it getting broken again? That's going to influence who I pick in this fight.
It's really due to the severity of the injury. Some guys recover better than others. An example of someone who's never really recovered properly is Margarito versus Pacquiao. But if you consider the severity of Margarito's eye, I wouldn't say that Kell Brooks was anywhere near that bad, right? So it's hard to say. It's case-by-case basis. But I think that it never properly recovers. It's fair to say that. But again, like a lot of people gave Kell Brook heat for his corner stopping it. But that's what we call, I guess, you know, living to fight another day, because he was going to go down in that fight and it could have been much worse. So I don't know.
There's cases in combat sports where you get an orbital break and you can come back and either be a champion or fight for a belt. So it's not impossible, but usually that first fight back, they are a little bit gun-shy. There is a feeling out process, because to get hit in the face again for full speed, full power, where your face was broken in, that it is kind of, you have to get used to it in a sense. It's almost more mental if it's not a severe break than it is physical.
Well, Margarito looks like One-Eye Willie.
Yeah, I was about to say the Margarito sure as fuck wasn't a mental one, because Margarito is like...
Margarito had an awful break, though.
Margarito's like that guy in 300, right? Remember that? You know, the guy lost the eye, and he's like, oh, just a scratch, it's only an eye. That's literally Margarito. So maybe Kelbrook will have that same mentality mentally going in. Who knows? I'm just saying, all right?
I know this is a horrible analogy, right? But it was like, if Pacquiao did that to Margarito, in his eye. Well, no, I mean, it just, I mean, because Kell Brook at least doesn't even look as bad. Yeah, he obviously had better doctors. But Larry, are you all done?
No, real quick, last thing. Yeah, Brooke deserves props for taking this fight, but it's an A minus and not an A plus, and here's why. If he had gone Spence to Golovkin, then it's... Y'all still there?
Yeah. I know. Yeah, you were saying if you went Spence to Golovkin, right, that it would be bigger because it would be a bigger opportunity because the Golovkin fight wouldn't be for them, but wouldn't be there for him if he lost to Spence. And since he lost to Golovkin, the Spence fight's still there for him. Is that kind of what you're arguing?
Exactly. That's what I decided. Right. And did the Spence fight not, you know, I'll say mess around in trying to get the other fights, but it's not messing around. It's a match prize fighting, so you're going to try to get paid the most you can for your work. But that's why it's an A-minus, not an A-plus. You can't say, you can't not give him props because he is going Golovkin to Spence back-to-back. But it's a full A-plus had he gone from Spence and then stepped up and fought for me. But with that said, big ups to the boxing voice.
Well, thanks for calling in, Larry. As always, we appreciate it. Let's get to Amin. What's going on? King Amin, actually. That's what we got to start calling him. That's his Patreon name.
What's good, fellas?
Talk to us. 1.5 favorite.
I'm going to tell you about that favorite. Number one, Matt misquoted yesterday. He said hand wraps or somebody. That was me who brought up the point in a discrepancy of not necessarily ducking but avoiding. Because to me, and I'm gonna get to the odds, when you duck somebody, you're scared of the fight. You're scared of their power. You're scared to lose. Avoiding somebody is trying to sort out perhaps a bigger payday or set up a succession of fights that might make more professional sense. Now, back to the boxing at hand, because I love that we're getting back to boxing strategy and technique. And what up, MD? I kind of miss you on the show, MD. What's good, baby?
What's good, too? I missed you as a caller.
The thing I said yesterday. What's up, MD?
I said I missed you as a caller. I missed being able to interact with all the great callers on the show.
Oh, for sure, bro. The other thing I said yesterday is that we got to look at the fact that Kell Brook, you cannot take anything away from him as the more experienced boxer. Everybody's talking about his right hand. Give him that. Give him the jab. Give him that wrinkle in his game where he can, you know, make it ugly. Those are things that Spence is going to have to adjust to. So it's not really a surprise that he's a favorite. And it's not a surprise that he's a low favorite, because the flip side to that is we love them young, strong, hungry lions. We like to see the old get ate up and devoured by the young. And that's what we do in boxing. That's what we love. That's why people hate Mayweather, or they hate to see what he does. So there's no surprise. And I mean, Spence, he doesn't have the head movement that we like to see from a guy with the potential that we think. And we haven't seen him face enough fighters that have a high enough IQ to throw him a wrinkle in the middle of the fight to make him have to adjust. So it's no surprise that the odds are where they are. But I'm taking all of that money, and I'm throwing it on the homie Spence, because Brook, as much as I respect him, somebody thought he was a cheeky bastard because they stabbed his ass. And I'm not making fun of an assault, but, yo, he was out, had nothing to do with boxing, and somebody stabbed the dude. Then he got his mask split open. So I don't care what nobody say. You had that kind of shit happen to you in life, and you ain't going to be the same guy, let alone the same fighter. That's my call.
All right, I mean, but who knows? He could have been getting robbed. You never know what was going on over there. Let's get back out to some of these internationals. We got, I don't know who was next. Jabron?
Hello?
What's going on, brother? Where you calling in from?
Hey, from the UK.
All right. You can narrow it down just a bit.
No, southwest of the UK. I don't want to give my exact location away.
No, we want your GPS, actually. We're Eagle Eye.
You can hear me all right there, yeah?
Yeah, we hear you. Great, man. You got a good connection. So talk to us, man. What do you think about these odds?
Yeah, I got a few points to make. First of all, I'm going to start off by saying, as we all know, Kell Brook's been a pro for 13 years, whereas Errol Spence has been a pro for 4 years. So all these people bitching about was Errol Spence done in his resume so far. Give him 9 more years to equal Cal's 13 years. I'm going to talk about his resume compared to Cal Brooks' resume right now, because that now be an equal time frame. Right? So Cal's had 26 fights, Errol's had 21 fights, and obviously Spence has had more fights in a short period of time. Best wins. Cal Brooks is Sean Porter. Errol Spence is Chris Algieri or Bundu, whichever way you want to look at that. And Algieri would be Cal Brooks' second best win on his entire resume. Just think about that, Cal Brooks, Dick Riders. Another point is, hello, you still there, guys?
Hell yeah, we're giving you the floor, brother.
Yeah, you're on fire. Keep going.
Brooks shouldn't get any credit whatsoever for facing Spence. That's his mandatory. We didn't give him credit for facing JoJo and all those two other bums. He shouldn't get any credit for facing a mandatory for which he, if he never faced, he would get stripped. He shouldn't get credit for doing that.
Wait, I'm not even giving him credit. But is it fair to?
I'm not accusing you.
But is it fair to say that people call them a ducker, right? Is it fair to say that they were a little too quick to speak?
Okay, maybe a more accurate description would be an opportunist.
Yes,
with a very bad resume for 30.
But who isn't in the sport? Who isn't in the sport where you have a short career and you try to make money?
Explain that point even better. Right, this is that point. So who is Cal Brook to demand big fights and, you know, big money fights, big fights in the popularity and all that superstardom? He's got one fucking win at Sean Porter in 2014, which he won by hugging the guy. It wasn't even entertaining, and he's demanding big fights. Now compare that to Mayweather and Pacquiao, who grinded their ass off.
What about Joshua though? That really dismisses your whole point, because You are what the market's willing to pay you, right? So Joshua, like Ness said, he hasn't had a great win on his resume, but Joshua, based on how the market works,
I mean, you can't compare the two. First of all, heavyweights are, you know, they're always the biggest stars in boxing, and Joshua's been, you know, through London Olympics, he won the gold medal there, and you got the Eddie Hearn machine behind Joshua. So that's the difference right there. You see, Eddie Hearn's shows are a bit like the UFC. They're like a show. In certain aspects.
Who's Cal Brook promoted by?
Yeah, Eddie Hearn, but he wasn't with him from the start. He never went through the Olympics. He never got that notoriety on terrestrial TV like Joshua had. So that's a big difference.
Yeah, I'm not comparing the two, but I'm saying that it's not. Unfortunately, we live in a sport where resume and merit doesn't necessarily.
No. MD, you're the one that brought Joshua into this conversation, not him.
Yeah, because I'm explaining the point that unfortunately.
You are comparing the two.
Dude,
unfortunately, we live in a sport where resume.
He's a Wembley undercard. All right. He was getting. Eddie Hearn was bringing him up from the start properly, the right way. He's one of the best promoters in the game. So Joshua has, you know, he's been built to this level. Cal Brook hasn't. He just beat Porter. He hugged him to death. And he wants big fight. Look at the grind, Pacquiao.
Damn, Skype fell. They'll probably call in. Yo, it's insane.
There's a lot of con fans. Low key, there's a lot of con fans.
Yo, it's insane how the people.
Oh, come on, don't even say that. All you said was facts. Like,
yo, and you gotta see the chip. Yo, I'm not. Don't even say.
What facts did he say? He goes.
What did he say that was wrong? What did he say that was wrong?
Because the point he's trying to make is he's trying
to. No. What did he say that was wrong? Not his point. What did he say that was wrong? Any of the facts that he said?
Well, I mean, listen, you could say things that are correct. You could say things that are correct and paint an inaccurate picture. And the point I was trying to make was that unfortunately we live in a sport where what you deserve on paper doesn't necessarily represent to equate to dollars, right? Like I said, Anthony Joshua.
That wasn't his point, though.
Yes, it was.
No, his point was.
Who is Cal Brook to demanding big fights? That's what it was.
Exactly. That's a good point. Well, because if the UK look at his resume. If the only reason he's demanding anything is because he's the UK fighter.
Not other callers, but
think that he's in the UK, so therefore he must be a big name over there, right? That's it. And he's a big name because he got his ass beat in front of the O2 in London by Triple G. That's the only reason he's the big name over there. Let's be real.
Let me get to some of these people here, man. Marcus in DC, talk to me. Are we down over there? I'm telling you, we had a surge, man. That call was so good. I can't believe the MD didn't like that one. And he's back. Here we go.
It's not that I didn't like it.
Brian, you're back. Talk to us.
Yeah, I forgot. Where did I get cut off to? I don't know where to start from now.
Oh, man. It was so many points.
Him being on the undercard of a Joshua fight is kind of where
Basically, what that was. So Joshua was being built as a superstar from the Olympics. There's a big difference between that and beating Porter in 2014 and then wanting to all of a sudden have, like, big money fights.
Let me ask you a question, though. For all the millions of UK people who – for all the millions of UK fans who watched his Golovkin fight, right? And I'm not agreeing with them. But what do you say to the people that go – yo, if he was bigger, he would have beat Golovkin. He put Golovkin to pushed Golovkin in a competitive fight. So I'm big on Cal Brook now because of that, right? And I'm not saying that they're right, but you know, the casual mind is not necessarily the most educated, right?
Yeah, and if I was Superman, I would go and beat Joshua right now and become the biggest star in boxing. But we can't, you know, can't always say what if this, what if that.
But that's what some of the casuals say. Am I not correct with that?
I admit, Brooke impressed me with his chin against the Triple G. That was impressive.
Yeah, yeah. Again, I'm not saying what I feel. I'm saying what the casuals feel. And I think because of that fight and because of what he did show in that fight, he is willing to demand certain things because the market is willing to pay him. You, like I said, you are your value is what the market is willing to pay you. And obviously, Eddie Hearn is willing to put up big money to get Kell Brook in a fight, and that's just how it is.
That decision Brook made to take that fight was the exact same thing that Amir Khan did against Canelo. Both were in a win-win situation, basically. They had their built-in excuses for losing, and they could come back down to their natural weight or whatever they want to say. So they're just both fights were money grabs. And Kell did it to one-up on Amir Khan. So there's that. So I'll go on to my next point now, if I may. What do you think Brook will do if he loses to Spence? Because I think he's in a very, very tough situation. Does he stay at 147 where people ain't going to give him a shot? Because the only reason they even give him a shot now is because he has a belt. Cal Brook without a belt, what is that worth? Not much, in my opinion. I don't think people...
I think Cal Brook, no matter if he wins or loses, is going to move up to 154 ASAP.
That's another second part of this point. He moves up to 154. What champion has he got a shot against over there? Most of them are probably longer ranger and better boxers than him and have decent speed. They're all like
hey, Jabron, I gotta interrupt you, man. No one's gonna ask you, but that's why I'm Ness. I ask the tough questions. Are you an Amir Khan fan?
No, I think Cal Brook would knock Amir Khan out, just to clarify my position on that. So if you can't call me a dick rider of Khan, that's because I'm speaking facts against Brooke.
It's Khan, Duck, and Brooke.
Sorry?
It's Khan, Duck, and Brooke.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been ducking him for years.
All right.
But then again, you can call that duck an opportunity. You know, is that an opportunity duck because he can always come back to that fight or not? You could argue that till the sunset. But yeah, he's been ducking him, sure.
You don't think Kell Brook could beat maybe a Jermell Charlo? Maybe a Demetrius Andrade. You don't think you could beat those guys?
I think they're very, very tough fights, and he won't have the size and power and strength advantage that he does over the 147 guys that he's had for 13 years, apart from now when he fights Spence.
You're out of this. He will have the speed advantage, most likely.
I think we can better assess it after this fight, man. It's been so many inconsistencies with Kell Brook, you know.
I just want to say, people give Kell Brook so much credit for going into Sean Porter's backyard and beating him. You just don't get a credit, I'm sorry, for going to someone's backyard to win a belt from them. Yeah, if you went to their backyard with your belt, like Kovalev does to Andre Ward, or Khan has done multiple times in America, or Triple G is a road warrior, he does it anywhere, Monaco, US, New York, LA, they're real road warriors. They're the ones who deserve respect for going to people's backyards, not when you're going to gain something from it, like a belt. Because you went there empty-handed.
So you're saying that his opportunity was overseas, so he had to take it. So it's not like you could give him. I see your logic, but of course, winning a belt
it's cynical logic. It's very cynical, but
yeah, but you can't. But you have to give a little more credit for someone that's not fighting in their home court. You
know, I give credit to someone who's able to overcome not having that home backing, the crowd, you know, roaring them on, giving that extra energy and whatnot.
Yeah.
Jabron,
yeah, no, I hear you.
Call us, brother. We got to go, but thank you for calling in. Great call, man. Great call. That definitely would put you in the running for some sort of caller of the year for sure, man. You've made some excellent points. Just a nomination. I mean, obviously, we have to do it a lot more often than that. Let me get out to my anonymous caller here. What's going on? Friend or foe?
Hello?
Yes, who's this, block Hello? Caller?
It's Rob from England.
Rob, what's going on?
Last time I rung, my signal wasn't very good. Is it good now?
Sound clear so far.
Good, good. Yeah, I've got a few things to say. About Brooke, I know you're not saying he was ducking Spence because it was taking him a long time to fight, get to Spence and agree terms. But I know he had one or two, I don't know if it's maybe three extensions to fight before he actually fought Spence. But the first one was for the eye socket. Then the second one was because Kell Brook and Amir Khan, they had a fight when they were novices. And I think what happened was Amir Khan schooled him a little bit. And ever since, whenever they've been on shows in England together, Kell Brook, Amir Khan has belittled Kell Brook a bit, bitching at him and taking the mic, and that's why because Kell Brook is desperate to fight Amir Khan, so he was trying everything the last month or so to fight Amir Khan because he just wants to knock his head off. So
yeah, but Amir Khan is this annoying ass boxer, right? Who would take that and go, oh, you schooled me in sparring. We all know this, that the second the fucking headgear comes off and the gloves get smaller, that his chin is horrendous, right? So he could say whatever he wants to in that regards, but I mean, he would be one of those type of fighters, right?
Yeah, I know, but that's why Brook is so desperate to fight him, because they just really hate each other. That's why I think it took so long before Brooke started talking about fighting Spence. I don't think he's ducking him. I don't think Kell ducks anyone. I think he's a bit mad like that, going up and fighting GGG. I know it was good money as well, and I think he just wanted to do one better than what Khan did, what the last caller said. But I think this is going to be a great fight. I think Kell Brook will win. I think it's a little bit too early for Spence. Spence is a great fighter coming forward, but I don't think he's had enough fights with people that do come forward and have a little bit about them coming at him. Because he hasn't developed the head movement and the, I don't know, does he have reflexes? I've only seen his last three fights. But you lot over there know better than I do. But that's what
Robert,
I think.
And, man, thanks for calling in, brother. Listen, try calling in on Skype. Add me, Nestor Gibbs, on Skype. This way it's free. I don't know if it's coming out for you free over here, man. And this way we could also save you in, because you're calling from a blocked number. We can't even get to you. Did we ever get to DC? We didn't get to Marcus, right?
No, we did not.
Marcus, what's going on? Marcus in Washington, D.C. Talk to us.
Hey, man, can y'all adjust the equipment real quick? Or, you know what I'm saying, the caller was, his phone was on one quarter speed. That y'all must have been on dial-up, because he was like, we're late, we'll spend.
Oh, yeah, come on, Marcus, come on.
I thought it was the equipment. It couldn't be him, man, you know what I'm saying?
Marcus, if we showed you.
Man, what's up, man?
If we showed you a picture of him, you might not be laughing so much. I'm just saying, you cannot assume. I'm saying. Just think about it for a second.
I'm 6'5", 295. AMD, I'm 6'5", 295. I don't think they got dudes out here to scare me, man. Everybody's a man. Yeah. But anyway.
It went over his head. It's all right.
Check this out, man. And nimble, too. I'm nimble, too. So, look, man. Kell Brook took the fight for the same reason why everybody who's on YouTube right now need to put the thumbs up to raise his visibility in the sport. So do the thumbs up to raise the visibility of the show. That being said, he took that risk. It was a leverage risk to try to leverage bigger fights, which I totally understand that he was going to seek other big fights. Once you hit that stage, you don't really want to come back down to fighting showbox type of dudes unless you're forced to at that point, okay? So I don't really think he was ducking. I know he was not necessarily looking at Spence as his first fight because he was trying to maneuver the risk that he took with Triple G to find a bigger fight. That being said, it didn't work out, so now we're here with the fight. Now, if we're just going to look at the skill sets and we're just going to look at what happened, it's not uncommon for me to believe that handicappers would favor Brook. At the end of the day, whether people are missing the point where they try to compare opponents, here's what people need to understand. When you are grading a fighter, you need to look at a fight where both guys come into the fight believing that they should leave the fight when the fight is over as the winner. That picks something totally different element that people are missing when they're analyzing these two men's resume. To get Sean Porter off you, Sean Porter didn't come to get a check, okay? And everybody can say what they say about Leonard Bundle. When you're in the title eliminator, what the ranking system is telling me or what it really should be is that we're comfortable with either one of these fighters coming out being a mandatory for our champion because we see them as a viable champion. And I know on God's green earth that the IBF did not believe that Leonard Bundle, should he have won that fight, they believe he would have been a viable candidate. So obviously this is understood that this is being engineered, Spence being a previous Olympian, to be in this limelight. That being said, if he beats Kell Brook, then it's fine. But the fact of the matter is that he has to beat Kell Brook. He has to beat him. Otherwise, all this talk and hoopla was for nothing. Now, that being said, Kell Brook has the style to beat Spence. Spence walks straight in. He's been fighting dudes. So the question is, can he make the adjustment and fight to a guy that has a skill set other than just to be there to survive? And I've seen him in the dog fight with some dudes he wasn't supposed to be in the dog fight with, that being Errol Spence. So I'm going to see what happens. I believe Brooks going to beat him. I think one thing the caller said previous, or as I said before, or maybe with UMD, is that Spence is like a huge 40-year-old. And at some point in time, you're right, we don't see the fat content on him being burnt off easily. Now, Brook is following the Ricky Fatten trend of British fighters getting huge, i.e. Ricky Hatton, Fury, and now Brook. So we do need to see if that's going to affect it. That being said, Kell Brook has a sharp right that's straight. He doesn't loop it. That's a devastating punch against the southpaw. He has movement. And the question is that when you get your Adebisi, using my Oz terminology, Oz reference here, when you get your Adebisi and you get locked in the room with the minister, you got to see who come back out on the tier. Now, we've seen Brook get thrown in there with Adebisi, with Porter, and he came out on the tier. Now, previous callers have said it was a hug fest, but I didn't see Sean Porter damn near ripping his gloves off like Golovkin does when people try to tie him up getting loose. So it takes two to tango and hug, and he obviously was with it, and he had a hug fest with Broner too. So, good fight.
And people also don't consider too, when you're fighting Sean Porter, who doesn't necessarily faint to get in range, when you're bum rushing somebody, the only thing you could do is hold. Right. He initiates the hold a lot by his style, you know. So like you said, it takes two to tango.
Old fighters used to do that all the time in the 40s and the 50s. They did
it. Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time, and he is the greatest of all time, was a holder.
Hopkins did it against Trinidad in the first part of the fight, so you get frustrated and expend energy trying to get loose. That being said, if the ref decides to call it in the fight, I don't have a problem with it. You know what I'm saying? If the ref decides to let him wrestle, I don't have a problem with it, as long as it's consistent. That being said, I just want to say this one last thing, and then I'm going to give somebody else a chance, is that when – when you fight somebody who like I said, at the end of the day is another pit bull on the other side and believes they're supposed to come out of the thing, that's what we have to measure you with. I don't know what Spencer's gonna look like when he has to take some shots and get past the 6th, 7th, or 8th round. We have to see it. We have to see what happens when he gets tried to get pulled in deep water. If he crushes Brooke, then so be it. He crushes Brooke. But for a guy to have not beaten anybody, there's a lot of times that fighters come to the point where they're higher risk than reward, but those guys keep pecking away at the contenders ahead of them. It's like Errol Spence got to the point where he's high risk, high reward, and then he just put his hands behind his back and said, I need a title shot. And I think that's going to hurt him because he needs some more experience. So that's my call, guys.
All right, Marcus, remember we're coming back Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern to discuss nominations and TBV awards for March 3rd TBV reunion. Head on over to theboxofvoice.com/reunion. Hurry up and get your tickets. And those who RSVP, pay those tickets because capacity is nearing very close. I'll be putting out an announcement here very soon where we're almost at capacity. Let me get to my good friend here, the Boxing Eye. What's going on, brother? Dan, don't tell me we dropped off again. Boxing Eye?
Yo.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm here, man.
What's going on, brother?
I'm good. Appreciate that order of the shirts, man. Looking at this snow, though, I'm going to have to get some TBV. Looking forward to the summer. Get them TBV swimsuit trunks. All black with the TBV red logo. But, yeah, man. Marcus, very smart guy, man. You could tell by his call. Really knows what he's talking about, you know. It's tough. We know the factors. Brooks Eye, coming back down in weight. And then, you know, Spence, his factor. He got to go over to UK and take that belt. You know, and it's going to be both there. I think it's obviously Spence's toughest test. Brooks been in there against Golovkin. But I don't want to be stir up no controversy, but I could definitely see Brooks, if he can't make the weight, he'll drop the belt at the scale. So Spence team, they got to be ready for that. You know, but, you know, with Spence, ducking and dodging, bobbing and weaving. Nah, he's trying to get some money, man. You know, Concord, OPAC, but he's not a big enough name to come over here and fight Cotto. Not yet. Get a couple more wins, maybe. But yeah, man, Marcus knows, man. Brooke, he got a sharp one, too. Spence definitely has to use more creative angles. He was smart. He knew he had to run through Algeria. He did that. And then he boxed beautifully against Bundu, because Bundu's that tough, rugged dude, you know, like the dude Rasheed Warren fought, you know. So I think we're going to see, you know, the stuff that Spence needs to do to win this fight, man, basically. But, you know, glad you put them shirt orders in, and keep up the good work, fellas. That's pretty much all I got.
He actually, he has to send me the invoice, so, yeah. Maybe TBV Appreciation Night. Shout out to Boxing Eye. We're going to have the official. I mean, official. You got to feel them. They're beautiful. Thank you, Boxing Eye. Let's get to 704. 704, who's this? Where are you calling in from?
What's going on, y'all? I'm calling in from Charlotte.
Charlotte. What's your name,
yeah,
brother?
What's going on, y'all? Kenny.
Kenny, first time calling in, obviously, right?
Yeah, this is my first time calling in. I mean, I watch the show all the time, but it's my first time calling in.
Oh, great, great. So you know the tradition, right? How'd you find us? YouTube?
Yeah, I watch you on YouTube. I just started watching probably like a month ago. I've seen a few of your Deontay Wilder interviews, you know. I'm a big Deontay Wilder fan, so I was one of the father.
Great, great. Well, I appreciate that, man. Listen, so I don't know if you know the tradition, but we got this first time caller intro. And then, you know, you introduce yourself like you're Errol Spence going to Sheffield to rip this title away from Kell Brook, all right?
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut.
Kenny.
All right, Kenny, talk to us. Kenny from Charlotte, get him down, Matt. So what's on your mind, brother? Kell Brook is a 1.5 favorite damn near over the truth, Earl Spence Jr.
Yeah, man. I know. I heard the news, man. I mean, listen, I'm a big Kell Brook fan. I've been a Kell Brook fan ever since he did what he did to Sean Porter. I feel like he proved a lot in that fight. I mean, he proved he was tough. I mean, he proved he had a good chin, sharp, relaxed. But this kid has been something special. I don't see no wrestling way beating this kid. He's a southpaw. I mean, strong, technical. I heard what the guy was saying about, you know what I mean, he doesn't use angles. But one thing about Earl Spence that's, you know, that's different from Sean Porter is that Sean Porter smothers himself when he gets somebody on the rope. Whenever in the Keith Thurman fight, when he had Keith Thurman on the rope, I feel like he could have been more successful in that fight if he would not have smothered himself. What Earl does and what makes him a very, very good fighter is that when he's fighting, when he has his opponent on the rope, he pivots back a little bit. So when he throws a shot, he'll pivot. He'll throw another shot. He'll pivot. And those shots, he's getting like 100% leverage on all of his shots. Bro, so I don't. When Triple G had Kell Brook on the rope, he wasn't smothering himself. And I don't think Kell Brook is going to be able to deal with that constant pressure. It's going to be all night. I think the fight probably going to go 12 rounds, but it's going to be really bad for Kell. I don't see his legs being able to deal with those constant body punches from Earl Spence.
Well, all right, brother. Thank you for calling in. Kelly from Charlotte, appreciate the call. All right, we're going to get done with this. We got a bunch of callers there, but they're not ready. They're still at work, I guess. So, you know what time it is. It's time to wrap it up. It's a very emotional early morning show. Wait, is that did I not get the Joshua Jesus? Now people want to press one. You see what I'm saying? You guys got time for some callers, MD? I know MD's in between. All right. The M Dizzle for Shizzle. In a few days, we're gonna be sipping Mai Tais with MD over there. You're gonna take us to Tijuana Flats, right, MD? You know Mai's the sponsor, so we're gonna have a car and everything. We're gonna be chilling out there in Florida. I will bring you guys exclusive coverage of these two. Interacting, so we're gonna have a weigh-in and everything. I mean, but it's only on Patreon, so support us on Patreon. You can find it at patreon.com/theboxingvoice. And don't forget, the TBV appreciation night is at theboxingvoice.com/reunion. We're gonna go out to some international callers here. We got Jason. Is that Jason there? No, oh, he dropped off. Let's see here. We got Joshua? No, Joshua from New Orleans.
Yeah, what's up, y'all? What's up, Boxing Voice? This is a good show. Kell Brook, he finally like stepped up to the plate and made things official. It's been a long time coming, but I do think Errol Spence do have what it takes for his resume. I don't really think a lot of guys want to fight him in that weight division, so who he hasn't fought and who he's been able to fight shouldn't be a question, because he's talented enough to be the top guy in the weight division one due to his size and his skills. He's a very big dude for the weight division. So is Kell Brook. But Kell Brook have an issue. Kell Brook can't use his size and his strength at 154. I heard somebody say something about him beating Demetrius Andre or Jamal Charlo. He's too small for it, and he will get his ass whooped at 154 when you step up. So Kell Brook, he got a big problem. Errol Spence, wherever he can grow, he still got room to grow. He still can comfortably make the weight at 147. He don't have no weight problems. He don't have no problem with making weight. And that's going to be a problem for a lot of dudes at welterweight until he do move on into the next division. I've said a few calls back, I think Lomachenko lose a fight before Errol Spence lose a fight, which he already did lose one already. So I got Errol stopping him. I don't have a pick on the rounds. If I had to pick a round for something, I'd say 7-8 rounds. Kell Brook, he's not as disciplined as he should be. However, in a Sean Porter fight, he was able to use his size and his strength over Sean Porter, and Sean Porter felt victim to what he was able to bring to the table.
he won't be able to do that against Errol. Errol is big enough and strong enough and technical enough to stop whatever Cal Brook brings to the table. And plus the body shots he will get off on Cal Brook is going to slow him down. So, I mean, I got Errol stopping Cal Brook.
Damn, stopping him. All right, brother. Well, thanks for calling in, Joshua. Truly appreciate it. Let's get out to Jason here on Skype. Jason, first time calling in?
No, I've called in before, mate.
What's going on? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yeah, Jason, where are you calling from?
Scotland, UK.
All right, brother, talk to us.
I think you've got to give Cal Brook some credit. I mean, he's finally deciding to hang on to the belt, showing a bit of respect for the belt, unlike some Mexican fighters, etc., etc. You see me?
Yeah, we hear you. We hear you.
Hello.
No, we hear you. I made that point earlier, you know, that it seemed like he was following in Canelo's footsteps, but then he took the fight.
That's right. And for the last caller who thinks that Cal Brook's going to get knocked out, I think he must be smoking something or something like that, man. I think Cal Brook's, I don't know, I think he's got more power. He's going to be bigger, stronger. I think he'll be the one that bullies him in there this time around. He's not going over to America where he's got to try and fight that kind of fight. He's at home. He's at home soil. He's doing it over in the UK in front of his home crowd. And I heard the boxing voice might be making an appearance to the UK. Is that right?
We're trying to put it together, man. We're going to need some help, obviously, from our listeners. That's a big trip. But, yeah, we're thinking about it. We're going to see. We're going to punch the numbers.
Yeah, you need to start pushing that Patreon a wee bit more there.
Yeah, right. That's exactly the point. If the Patreon was where it needs to be, we'd be there in a heartbeat. But who knows? God has big plans.
I'm sure you can phone your phone. I'm sure you've got Eddie Hearn's number by now, have you not?
Of course.
There you go. Eddie Hearn has sponsored it.
He's got good old Coogan, man. He won't be sponsoring anybody else.
Yeah, that's true.
But we'll see what we do, man.
I thought phoning in to see you boys, see what's happening. Love the show.
Thank you so much, Jason. Thanks for calling in. We're gonna get to some other callers here. Actually, 301 dipped off. I guess it was a work day. Now it's really time to go. This was a good one. Very, very emotional show. This is going to be a huge fight. I don't know, man. I do want to be in Sheffield for the excitement of this one, but I actually want to be home to do the immediate reaction show on this one, right? Like, damn, torn, because I'm pretty sure that immediate reaction is going to be crazy, man. I could just imagine. Either way that it goes, it's going to go insane. If Brooke wins, it's going to be huge, and if Earl wins, it's going to be huge, because there's a big divide, you know, even though this fight seems to be, you know, even by the betting lines, right, seems to be like an even fight. You know, he's only a 1.5 favorite. The fandoms for both guys are so big that, like, if Brooke wins, it's like, oh, I told you so. And if Earl wins, you know, it's I told you so. So, very, very good one. It has us excited early on. This has been a phenomenal year. Does it smell like 2013 or what, huh? Jesus. I mean, this is only the first quarter. We got Joshua Klitschko. We already got Badu Jack and James DeGale. Man, just so many good matchups. Now we're getting Sosai and Lomachenko. That's a semi-unification, right? Because Lomachenko's WBO. Sosai is a version of the WBA. So that's a unification there. You got Keith and, you know, Danny, another unification there. Klitschko Joshua with a vacant and a title on the line. I mean, it's a fucking great first half of the year. I mean, because all the way in in May. We already got Canelo Chavez, man. But I am your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO for more exclusive content, film studies. We've already started to review tape on Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko for their big fight happening in April. We've already done quite a few film studies for Danny Garcia and Keith Thurman's big fight. We just went back and watched Keith Thurman versus Luis Collazo film study in lieu of this fight with Danny Garcia. We watched a few Gennady Golovkin and Daniel Jacobs fights in build up to that fight. We call those TBV All Angle film studies. So head on over to Patreon and check those out. You can catch my co-hosts. For the first time, we're actually all going to be in Florida, man. So that footage is going to be insane. Like, that's going to be the first time in TBV history that all the hosts are in one place. That's dope. Finally, you know, that goes to show that we are the true Voltrons right here. We're combining as one. But anyway, where could they catch you at, Surgeon?
You could find me at BoxingMD1 on Twitter.
You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter and my MMA podcast, Mixed Combat Radio. You can find on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. Enjoy.
If you guys follow the hashtag SJW term, you will find Matt.
Number one.
SJW.
You want to find the alt-right term?
Instead of following hashtags, head on over to that Patreon. Get it where it needs to be so we could go to the UK and watch this fight amongst all our UK listeners. You never know. I mean, yo, I got actually a lot of good news, right? I got FN Vaca on the hook, man. So you never know. Never know. We might get a UK edition TBV appreciation night over there if we could bag these big sponsors, man. Want to thank everyone that continues to listen. Remember, this was a phone call in a dream. Remember that dollar in a dream? Well, this was a phone call in a dream. You've brought in TBV to where it is, and it will continue to grow. Credit to you. Hit those thumbs up button. Drop us those 5-star reviews.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Never forget, Thursdays and Sunday are our flagship days. These are just spontaneous shows where we give back to our community.
Join us every Thursday and Sunday live at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
Arrivederci.